Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Clark. This is a live call-in talk show. We're going to be taking an expedition through the Scriptures, through the Bible. The telephone number to call is 254-445-2473. We encourage each and every one of you to call if you have a question, if you have a comment. You can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions. We have just finished with a series of lessons out of the book of Mark. And last week we finished with the lesson that the Mark 16 teaches about Jesus Christ, a man of compassion. And one of the things that made him a man of compassion was the fact that he has a plan of salvation, and he revealed it to mankind. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, he tells the apostles there, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." And we took that plan of salvation, which requires one to obey the gospel. And we looked also at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, which talks about obeying the gospel. And verse 7 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now, we talked about obedience to the gospel. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is because last week when we finished our program, we had a question early the next morning by Cindy. And the question that she had was, why do you say more than believe in order to be a Christian? And then she quoted John chapter 3, verse 16 as a backup for her question. And John chapter 3, verse 16 says, quote it for us there, Kerry.
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
So the question that Cindy had for us was, why do you say more than believe? Now, we mentioned God's plan of salvation for mankind, and we went through it. First of all, you've got to believe. Sure enough, you've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that belief, we are to repent. And we gave the scripture for that, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Then we are to confess the sweet name of Jesus as the Son of God before men, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And then we are to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Now, that's what the Bible has to say. And our motto has always been, you have heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. So the question was, why do you say more than believe when John chapter 3, verse 16 says that all you have to do is believe? And our contention here is this, and you can write this down somewhere. If you've got a place to write it down, the Bible does not and will not contradict itself. If you suppose that you're running into a contradiction of the Bible, just keep reading.
That's right.
And it will show you where the truth is. And Kerry I'm going to turn this over to Kerry, and I'm going to let him read some scripture concerning why John chapter 3:16 and that word believe only is not all that you have to do. Now, Kerry, would you take over for us?
Yeah, and David, I want to say how much we appreciate everybody tuning in this afternoon. And you know, it has been often drilled into my head, and this is something that those of us who've been preachers for a long time, when I went through preacher training school, one of the things that I heard quite often is that a text taken out of its context becomes a pretext. In other words, you take a verse of scripture out of its immediate context, then you can prove anything. You know, the Bible talks about how Judas hanged himself, and then we could couple another verse together. It says, "Go thou and do likewise." Well, we could make it sound as if the Bible's commanding us to go out and commit suicide, and we know that's not the case. And in John chapter 3, friends, people have taken John 3, verse 16 out of its text, or out of its context. Now, let's notice, beginning in John chapter 3, in verse number 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master, or art thou a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, David, when you look at the context of John 3:16, Jesus begins with a man who is well educated in the law, knows the law, a teacher of them. We're talking about the law of Moses.
Right.
We're talking
right.
about the Bible. Not some law out here that man's, but this guy knew the Bible. He knew the book. And Jesus begins with this man by telling him the only way that you can go to heaven is to be born of water. Now, friends, being born of water is being baptized for the remission of our sins.
Amen.
And so he said the only way that you can go into heaven is to be baptized, and that baptism is coupled with water, the grave of baptism, and the Spirit. And we'll notice this a little bit later on in our study in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. I'll go ahead and mention it right here. It says that we're baptized into one body by the Spirit, the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is involved in our baptism. Nicodemus didn't understand it, David. And so Jesus had to go back to the very foundation principles. And that's when he says, listen to this, friends, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, David, let's pause there and look at the illustration that Jesus gave. He goes back to when the children of Israel were in trouble and God sent the fiery serpents among the people to chastise them. And these fiery serpents were biting people and they were dying. And God instructed Moses to take a staff, make this design of a serpent, stick it up in the air, and if they looked upon that staff, if they lifted their eyes and looked up at that staff, then they were saved. Now, David, watch this. What if they believed that they needed to look up, but they never looked up?
Well, they would die.
They would die. So they had to do something.
Right.
And Jesus then says the very same thing applies. If you believe in me, you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, John 3:16 is a great, wonderful verse of Scripture. David and I believe it with our entire heart. But friends, we look at the context of the verse, and the context of the verse begins with baptism, and then because of Nicodemus's lack of knowledge in the Scriptures, even though he was a teacher of the law, Jesus had to get back to fundamentals. And he said, well, you know, Nicodemus, first of all, you got to believe. You've got to trust me and believe my words and do what I say. And so John 3:16 does not contradict baptism, friends. It does not. Now, David, I know you want to add some things to that.
Right. Well, before I do, I would like to give the telephone number again, 254-445-2473, or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, the interesting part about this word believe, to believe is to have faith.
Amen.
We've got to have faith in order to be saved.
That's right.
Now, that's what Jesus was, just as you illustrated to us just a moment ago through the scriptures, is that we've got to back up and have the faith before we will obey anything.
Mm-hmm.
But always, belief and or faith has always carried with it the idea of obedience. And I would like to direct all of our listeners to turn to James chapter 2 and verse 14. And I want you to see what the Holy Spirit, and this is no contradiction whatsoever, because we need to understand in the context of that word, the use of that word belief, we have obedience. And so in verse 14 of James chapter 2, the Holy Spirit through James writes this: "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works? Can faith save him?" Now that word faith is belief. "If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." In other words, your belief is dead if it's by itself. If it has nothing to go along with it, just like you illustrated just a moment ago, Moses holding up that serpent on that pole, if they didn't take the time to take action upon what they believed, they had to believe it, they had to look at it. So there had to be something done. So now he's saying right here, "Yea, a man may say, you have faith or belief, and I have works. Show me your faith or your belief without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe." Now notice, folks, the same word here is used that Jesus used in John chapter 3, verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You believe that there is one God, you do well. "The devils also believe and tremble." "But what will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac up, his son, upon the altar? Do you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith," or belief, "without works is dead also." The only place in the whole Bible, Carrie, where faith only is used, and that would be belief only, the only place it is used here in a negative sense in the 24th verse of James chapter 2, the only time that those two words are used together, and it says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith or belief only." So that belief only that a lot of people try to put into John chapters 3:16 is just blown completely out of the water with more understanding of how that word is used.
Yes, David, and it's frightening me. By the way, if y'all want to jump in on this conversation, give us a call at 254-445-2473. Once again, 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But David, it's amazing to me that although we've had the Bible in America for the entire time that America has been in existence, that the knowledge of the Bible among the average American has diminished. Instead of people knowing more about what God said, it seems that we're knowing less and less about what God said. And David, we've got wonderful helps. We've got things on the internet that are biblical helps that we can go to. And I'm not selling anything, but eSword. If you go to eSword, you can download this program for free. And it has the Greek, the Hebrew. It's got several different versions that you can compare. And we have a wealth of information out here, David. And yet, it seems that we know less and less about the Word of God. And Nicodemus, who didn't have access to all that we have, although he was an instructor of the law of Moses, he still had not gotten that fundamental principle that I've got to trust God. When God tells me something, I trust God because I know God's going to do what he said. And when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized," Mark 16 and verse 6, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, do I believe that? Or do I not believe that? Jesus did not say, "He that believes shall be saved and then is baptized." He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
Correct.
So friends, we need to get back to getting our nose in the book, know what God says, and do what God said, believing Him, because God will not lie to us.
Right. And you know, Kerry, we have said from the very beginning, you have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. That's been our motto from day one here on on this radio program. And we have offered this radio program to the public, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to call in. We want you to make comments. We want you to question what we are saying here, because everything that we're going to tell you is not going to be my opinion or Kerry's opinion. We're going to read it to you from the Bible, and there is where we're going to get the truth of the matter. We've got so much confusion in religion today because this pastor over there will preach it one way, and this preacher over here will preach it another way, and the fact of the matter is we need to get back to God's way if we want to be saved. Now, we can assume all we want to, but until we read it with our own eyes, we don't know. And we've got a real problem in this country, just like you say. It is extremely hard to be loyal to God and to be loyal to His Son, Jesus Christ, if we don't know what it is that He wants us to do.
And you know, not only that, David, I think sometimes our old stubborn pride gets in the way, and we're unwilling to ask somebody to show us, help us in understanding the Word of God. You remember in Acts chapter 8, there was a guy, a man of Ethiopia, had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way back from Jerusalem, going back to Ethiopia. Now, this man was a high-ranking public official in Ethiopia, and as he's traveling, he has a scroll that was written by Isaiah. And as he's reading that scroll, he reads something there that he does not understand. And it says that this man, when he was reading this scroll, he said, Philip asked him in verse 30, Acts 8 and verse 30, "Understandest thou what thou read?" Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" He had enough humility, David, to say, I don't understand what this is saying. Can you help me? And that's what, friends, David and I are here to do that. We're not here because we didn't have anything to do on Monday night, so we decided to come down here and visit with Chris. We came here, folks, to help people understand the Bible. And so give us a call at 254-445-2473.
Well, Kerry, it's very interesting that you bring up that Ethiopian and the humility that he has and the humbleness of his heart. Because a good and honest heart will want to find the truth.
That's right.
Even if it's going to hurt. But we oftentimes catch ourselves saying, "Well, now, why do you do this and why do they do that?" And you know, I'm just curious. You're really not going to change my mind on anything. My mind's made up. I'm not going to change yours. You're not going to change mine. And that's the wrong attitude to take. You see, it is imperative that we do as God gives us authority to do. Now, if we can find the authority for it, then we can do it.
Yes.
And if we can't find the authority for it, we better stay away from it.
That's right.
We had better stay away from it. And it's pretty much that simple. We have got to have authority for the things that we do in our life and in our worship and in our spiritual life as well. And so we do hope that will conclude and answer the question, and we do appreciate that question, Cindy. We're up against a break, and we're going to have to take a break, and we'll see you on the other side, and we will begin with the keys to personal spiritual growth And the first key to that growth is going to be loyalty.
Hey, friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me my co-host, Brother David Harris, and we're going through, and thus far in our program, we've answered a question that was generated from our study last week, and so we've tried to answer John chapter 3 and verse 16, and the idea that, well, all I've got to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and that, of course, has generated some more, and so we have a question that's been sent to us by the email, and by the way, the number to call, if you want to join in the discussion, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and I'm going to turn it over to David.
Okay, we have an email come in from Snyder, Texas, and from Denny, and we want to thank Denny for sending an email to us, and he wants to add a couple of scriptures to those that we read concerning belief only or faith only. And the scripture that he has in mind here is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, where it says, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to everyone that obeys him. And that pretty well covers that faith, belief aspect. Also, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, when Jesus asked this penetrating question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so we believe in Christ. We've got to do what he says for us to do. And also Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Denny writes, he quotes the scripture for us, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And those verses are very, very good verses. And Kerry, we even talked about using some of these verses earlier. And I really, really appreciate Denny sending these in, because it just shows you how much more involved it is, that word, the way that the Bible uses that word belief. It has everything to do. It encompasses the doing of what you actually have faith in.
Well, you know, and that's exactly right. And Denny, we do appreciate so much you sending us that email. And friends, we need to understand that there are actually so many verses of Scripture that we could appeal to. We could go to John chapter 14 and verse 15, where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We'd go to John 15 and verse 14, if you're my friends, you'll do what I command you. Over and over again, friends, this idea that has grown so popular in religious circles that, well, you know, all I've got to do is believe in Jesus, and once I believe in Jesus, then I'm saved, and it's once saved, always saved, and I don't have to do anything else, and God's just going to take care of me, and I can never be lost. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go to, I don't have to worship God. I don't have, you know, none of that stuff. I just believe, and David, I believe that doctrine is so foreign to the Scriptures that I don't understand how it ever gained popularity, except that it's easy.
Right. Well, you know, another thing I do believe, Kerry, is that as people have hung on to John chapter 3, verse 16, and the idea that all it is a concept of belief, all it is a concept of faith, that they have now, in their own minds, reconstructed the definition of what a Christian is and how you become one. A Christian, to many people who believe that John chapter 3 verse 16 encompasses only the thought, the belief, they believe that all Christians are just good people.
Yeah.
If you're a good person, that makes you a Christian. And as a matter of fact, there's even a colloquialism around, you know, when somebody does a good deed and he said, well, wasn't that Christian of him? You know,
yeah.
And he may be as far removed from being a Christian as anybody, but good people do good things, and they still are not Christians.
Yeah.
But when we obey God's word, then we can become a Christian. When we have faith in that word enough to believe it, then we're going to be the Christian that God wants us to be, but it's going to take a good and honest heart to do it.
Amen to that. David, let's go ahead and give that number again, 254-445-2473, or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. But let's move on in our discussion. And as David was mentioning a moment ago, we're going to begin a new discussion because we've covered what we wanted to cover in the book of Mark. We're going to begin a new discussion this evening, and it's going to take several weeks to do it. And David, I don't plan on going anywhere. I don't think you plan on going anywhere. So, folks, y'all tune in every Monday night, and we'll go through this. But this series that we're doing, if you want to call it that, is called Seven Keys to Personal Growth. Friends, these lessons are going to build upon one another. And if you will follow with us in this study and go through and use these seven keys, and by the way, the word key means to unlock something. This is just something that will help us to be better in living the kind of life that God wants us to live. And the first key that we're going to study today is called loyalty. Now, when you look at the word loyalty, obviously you understand that the root of that word is loyal. And David, the word loyal means that we are steadfast in allegiance or duty. And so when you look at loyalty, it is the state or the quality of being loyal. It has faithfulness to our commitments and our obligations. David, the motto, Semper Fidelis, means always faithful. And everybody here understands that the Marine Corps has shortened that motto to simply Semper Fi. And what they're saying is, as a Marine, we are always faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We're always loyal. We're always faithful. So, friends, what is loyalty? That's what we're going to discuss. And I believe that when we get through with this discussion, that you will understand this idea of loyalty is the very foundation of our Christianity. If I'm not loyal to God, if I'm not loyal to His Word, then David, there's no way I can be a Christian.
You're absolutely right. One of the great, great, great examples of loyalty that you'll find in your Bible is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And here, just to put it in context, here we find David. He is in hiding. He's in he's being pursued by the Philistines, and he's in a cave. And he wanted a drink of water. Now, he's got 30 of his mighty men with him, these mighty men of valor. And you want to talk about loyalty. Now, this is some kind of loyalty. And I just want to pick it up where in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you've got your Bibles, we would encourage you to read with us. It says, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed, and he said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And one of his honest, good-hearted, mighty men heard that, and here's what happens. The three mighty men broke through the host, the army of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." And he poured out the lifeblood of these men. He poured out that water. Now, these men had to put their life in peril. They had to put their life in jeopardy. They had to fight their way down there to the well, draw the water, fight the men off while they were drawing the water, fight their way back out of there, and then give the water to David. Now, you talk about loyalty.
Wow.
A man that will put his life on the line for that, because just a passing thought. Boy, I wish I had a drink of that water out of that well of Bethlehem. I remember how good that was when I was a boy.
Yeah.
And then his men take off. Now, that is absolute. There's you a tremendous illustration of what loyalty truly is. Laying your life on the line for somebody else.
Because you love and respect that individual.
Absolutely.
You know, I just, David, when I read this verse of Scripture. It just sends chills up my spine. Mm-hmm. I think about them being stuck in that cave, surrounded by an army. And like you said, almost as a passing thought, you know, I remember as a kid growing up, there was a family that lived across from us, and David, they didn't have running water, but they had a well. Man, that well water, it was good. And it was cold, you know, it was good and cool on a summer day. We'd be out there playing in the cotton field out there by his house, and we'd go up, "Mr. Wells, can we get a drink of water?" You know, and that old water, he'd dip it down there, bring that water up, and it was cool, and it quenched your thirst. And you can see David saying, "Boy, I sure wish I had a drink of that water over by Bethlehem." You know, the one right over there by the gate? And these three men heard that. And, man, they took off.
They did.
They didn't say a word to David. They didn't say, "Come on, guys, let's." These three men take off. And they fight through the army, and they shed blood, David.
Yes.
They didn't just go running through there and nobody. They fought their way to that well. That's where the Philistines had, that was their garrison, that was their fort. Fought their way to the fort, and then got that water, and then brought it back to David and said, "Here."
Right to the heart of the enemy.
Ooh.
Right into the heart of the enemy.
Now, friends, you want to talk about loyalty.
Now, that is it. Now,
man.
David had 30 of these mighty men. Actually, they actually total 53 when you actually add them all up and take into consideration the ones that are mentioned in 1 Chronicles as well. But these men would risk life and limb, not because David commanded it of them, but because they loved and respected their leader. And that is the reason that they did it. Now, Kerry, we have a very similar situation in this United States
That's
of America
right.
today.
Right.
We are to be loyal Americans. Each and every one of us, we are Americans. And we are to be loyal to our country. What in the world does that mean?
Well, you know, David, as we talked about it, we're not talking about loyalty to a piece of dirt.
No.
And we're not talking about loyalty to the air that we breathe. When we talk about loyalty to America, friends, we're talking about the value system of America, what America was founded upon, and ultimately, David, we're talking about the great document that our forefathers wrote called the Constitution of the United States of America.
Absolutely.
We need to be the friends. It should not be. Now, I want to back up, David, for a moment and just think about John 3:16, and like, well, all I got to do is believe. I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of loyalty is demonstrated? And well, I just got to believe. What kind of loyalty is that?
None.
When Jesus said, "Be baptized," friends, nobody in the world ought to question that. You know, we had a saying when I was growing up as a kid. When Mama said jump, you said how high? And I always said no. When Mama said jump, I jumped.
Right.
I didn't even ask her how high. When God says to do something, friends, if you love Him and are loyal to Him, you're going to do it whether you understand it or not.
Absolutely.
And so loyalty to the United States of America, we're talking about being loyal to our Constitution, what the Constitution says. As Americans, we're bound by that, friends. And yet, sadly, David, we see a movement in America right now that would rather stifle the Constitution and the precepts that America was founded upon. You know, David, I find it just really, really aggravates me to no end that in Texas right now, they're working on the new history books. And friends, these history books, normally if they get passed in Texas and they're used in Texas, they're used in the majority of the United States. And there is a committee that sits down and goes through and looks at the history and then puts it in, tries to be concise. David, there were three mentions of Christianity in the history of the United States of America in this new history book. You know what? For liberals out there, that was too much.
Ooh.
And they didn't want to have references to Christianity. They wanted to remove those. And friends, if we don't start standing up and fighting this nonsense, we're going to have the history of America so revised that in 30 years, our children will not have the foggiest idea about why this country was founded. We came here, friends, because of religious persecution in England and in other countries, and we established a republic that said you have the freedom to worship the God of the Bible the way that you want to worship Him.
Right.
Founded on Christian principles. And yet we've got men and women out there that are trying to yank those values out of history. David, I don't understand. I understand why, and y'all may get upset with me for saying this, I understand why a bunch of politicians don't want to have the Ten Commandments there when it talks about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, and
that
thou shalt not
commit. That one hits them hard.
It hits them too hard, and they want to pull it out. But our kids, our children... David, we're up against another break. Man, time flies when we're having this kind of fun. But we're going to give you our phone number, 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition on the through the Bible. And we're here at KEQX 89.7, or if you want to call us, we would love to hear from you. 254-445-2473, or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we've entered into a new field here, a new realm. We're looking at loyalty, and we're trying to lay the foundation for the keys to personal growth, and loyalty is going to be the one thing that we're going to have as a foundation for us to be able to grow spiritually. And we've touched on the idea of what is loyal. We looked at the illustration that David's mighty men had of loyalty in 2 Samuel, and Carrie mentioned a few things about loyalty too. And we have, in this United States of America, we are supposed to be loyal to our country, loyal Americans. And what that means, when you boil it all down, Kerry, it means that we've got to be loyal to the Constitution of the United States of America. The Constitution is the supreme law of our land. The Constitution is what we obey. Just like believing and obeying, we do not obey. The supreme law of our land does not come from the presidency. It doesn't come from the Supreme Court. It doesn't even come from the Congress, although all of those people would like to believe that it did. Our law, the supreme law of our land, is the Constitution of the United States of America, and that is what we have to be loyal to. Now, our founding fathers, they didn't see the need nor the intelligence in separating God and His Word from the government of the United States of America. And all through the Founding Fathers' documents, we read things that show that we've got to have God right in the middle of it in order for this land to survive. And we are people that are loyal to this Constitution, loyal to this land. As a matter of fact, When you join the military service here in this land, you have to take an oath not to uphold anything more than the Constitution of the United States of America. Because if you will do that, everything else is going to fall in place.
Right.
And so the Constitution of the United States of America is the oath that we take as military service men and women. We have to take the oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. Kerry, it is amazing how that parallels with the oath and the vow that we must take as a Christian. And we read about it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 23. Kerry, if you'd like, why don't you read that for us? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. And let us notice the parallels that are used here by the United States government that Jesus used for an individual that is going to become a Christian.
The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast.
Hebrews.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That's Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Friends, what we're talking about is being loyal to God. And David, one of the ways that I demonstrate loyalty to God is that I arrange my schedule and I adjust my schedule to meet God's plan.
Absolutely.
You know, we have it in America where, you know, we want to go out and we want to do all these things and run around all night on Saturday night, and we won't lay up in bed all day Sunday. And God has told us on the first day of the week that we're to come together and worship Him. And so we say, God, I'm not going to abide by your schedule. I'm not going to abide by your plan. I'm not going to be loyal to you. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And God, you need to meet my needs. And then if I've got a little extra time, well, you know, I might do something in your behalf. But don't ask me to sacrifice. Don't ask me, I can't believe anybody would want me to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's just above and beyond the call of duty. Well, friends, no, it's not. And if you want to jump in on this discussion, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 that you read just a moment ago has a very, very interesting clause in it there.
That's right.
He says it's the profession of your faith. Now, we're back to that word that we read just a moment ago in John chapter 3, verse 16, believe.
That's right.
The profession of your belief. Now, what did you profess? You professed to follow the word and the will of God. In other words, you're going to mold your life to fit God's dictates. Now, in this United States of America, we don't change the Constitution just because we don't like it. We adhere to the laws. Now, we've got a Congress up there right now seems to think that they can just mold that thing like a piece of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And we've got people that call themselves Christians that would like to have a Play-Doh God.
Yeah.
And they don't like what God has to say about the forsaking the assembling of the saints on the first day of the week. They don't like to hear that kind of thing. And so they want to make a Play-Doh God that God's grace and God's mercy going to cover everything. But notice here he says in verse 23, let us hold fast. And that means loyally.
That's right.
Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. We've got to be steadfast. We've got to be loyal. What was the profession of our faith? That sure, yes, we believe Jesus Christ, and then we obey whatever it is that Jesus Christ told us to do in order to become a child of God. And that would include our faith. That would include our repentance. That would include our confession. That would include our baptism into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. He said, let us hold fast to that profession and don't you ever let go of it.
You know, David, it to me, and like you say, I love the illustration of someone joining the American military and taking the oath to uphold the Constitution. And David, you know, in marriage, we take a similar oath. I covenant with my mate to live with my mate for the rest of our life.
Absolutely.
You know? But David, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, because when you were talking about it, it reminded me again of what we were studying in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's traveling on that road, reading Isaiah, doesn't understand what he's reading. Philip comes up to the chariot and says, hey, do you understand what you're... No, I can't understand it except somebody guides me. And so he asked him, he said, Philip, get on in the chariot with me. And he says, is this man talking about himself? This is Acts 8 and verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And verse 35, friends, the Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What did he preach? He preached Jesus. Now listen to what happens in verse 36, friends. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, David, we had a question from last week. Well, you're adding baptism. No, we're not. That we're following this example right here and other examples in the book of Acts. So they're studying. He preaches Jesus. And that eunuch says, well, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How did he know anything about water?
The only way is because that Philip preached it to him.
Absolutely.
And preaching Jesus.
But the scriptures say he preached Jesus Christ. Right. Can you preach Jesus Christ without preaching water baptism?
No, sir. Not in its fullness.
Exactly.
Not in the whole counsel of God. And so he said, well, there's some water. Why can't it be baptized? Now listen to verse 37. Acts 8:37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's that great profession of our faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, he, the eunuch, commanded the chariot to stand still. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they've come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. David, we haven't added one thing to the Word of God when we stress that if you believe, that if we did, then Philip's guilty of it.
Absolutely.
Because he said, do you believe? Oh, I believe. Jesus says, there's the water. Let's get in it. And both of them went down into the water. This sprinkling business that some want to substitute for water baptism, the biblical baptism, friends, they both had to get down in the water. And then Philip baptized this man. And when he came up, he went on his way rejoicing. David, he didn't rejoice when he believed.
Right.
He didn't rejoice when he had confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But he rejoiced when he had his sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. Friends, I hope you see the beautiful harmony of the Scriptures. This idea that we're yanking things out of their context. And I'm not saying anybody said that, but that's what we hear quite often. Well, you're pulling that out of it. No, we're putting it in complete harmony. John 3:16 does not contradict Acts chapter 8
and
verse 38.
It doesn't contradict anywhere.
Or 37. That's right. No contradiction whatsoever, friends. Perfect, beautiful harmony. And if I'm going to be loyal to God, David, when God says for me to do something, it doesn't matter what I've got scheduled. I need to drop it, and I need to do what God said. And if I'm loyal, I'm going to go above and beyond the call of duty.
Right. Well, this profession of the faith that we're talking about, it is something that we do. That when we become Christians, we profess our faith in Christ Jesus. And have we got a telephone call, Chris? Okay, caller, would you give us your first name and make your comment or ask your question, please?
My name is Ross, and I was wondering, when we're talking about loyalty here, wouldn't there also be an aspect there of a trust in God where we would allow Him to decide these things for us regarding religion and baptism, salvation, that type of thing?
Absolutely. That's a wonderful word to put in there with it. Loyalty, it has to do with our duty, it has to do with our respect, it has to do with our service, and it has to do with our trust in God. If we do not trust God, and by the way, this will get us right back into our Constitution also, if we've got to trust in God in order to believe His Word. And if we're going to be loyal to Him, you can't do that without the trust in God. And a lot of times, Ross, I do believe that one of the reasons that we have this defeatist attitude, one of the reasons that we have this negative attitude in life is because we have forgotten about our trust in God. We have forgotten that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have forgotten that He said, I will always help you. We have forgotten all of those wonderful reminders and those passages that we find throughout the book that says, if you will just allow me and trust in me, put your faith in me and your belief in me and your trust in me, I'm going to take care of you. That's a wonderful, wonderful point, and I do believe that Jesus brings that up very pointedly in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those things that you've been worried about, I will add unto you." Wonderful point, Ross. We appreciate your call.
David, we actually have another email, and it says it's from Denny, and I think that's probably our Denny out in Snyder, but it just simply says, "He is the potter, and I'm the clay."
Absolutely.
And what Denny's referring to is Romans chapter 9, and verse 19. Listen to what it says. Thou will say then unto me, "Why did you find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Listen to verse 21, Romans 9. "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Denny, you're right. God's the potter. I'm the clay. I think we have another caller. Caller, if you would, just say your name and give us your question or your comment.
Yes, this is Deborah.
All right.
You were talking earlier about loyalty and attending services and things like that.
Yes.
With the Super Bowl coming up, that's going to be a good test for some people on do they put God first or the Super Bowl first, because there are some churches that will rearrange their services and have like a Super Bowl combo church night.
Well, Deborah, as I've often heard people say, "Preacher, you've quit preaching and gone to meddling."
Right. Anyway, that was my comment.
Okay.
Because if you put God first, everything else falls into order.
Deborah, you're absolutely right, and I do appreciate that point that you are making. There is a loyalty, a lack of loyalty, and a lot of people that profess that profession, that confession that we were talking about. And just as you mentioned, there are a lot of churches that will rearrange their schedule over a football game. Now, there's probably nobody out there loves football more than me. My wife and I, if we have any disagreements, it's over changing the channel on a football game. and I love my football. But my football is never, ever going to supersede my love for God, and it should not supersede anybody's love for God. My loyalty is first to God and then to my family, and football is way on down the list. But just as I mentioned just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," that means that we are to prioritize our life and make God the priority in our life each and every time. Kerry?
Well, Deborah, we appreciate that. I appreciate that comment as well. And I'm like David, I'm a little bit flabbergasted when we look around and we see people saying that a football game is more important than God and worshiping God. And so we're going to rearrange God's schedule to fit our schedule. And that certainly should not be the case. And David, I hate to say this, we're out of time again this evening. We appreciate so much your listening. And obviously, if you're following along, we didn't get all that we want to say about loyalty done this evening. So come back next Monday night, same time, same place, and we'll continue our discussion on loyalty.
And I want to especially thank all of those who sent the emails, and especially those that called in and made comments, asked questions, or whatever it is that you did. And we do appreciate. This is your show, and we're out of time, and we want to bid everyone, God bless you as you read and study his word. We'll see you next week.